Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Really? Are you sure?
Really, I'm really fine.
Is everything all right?
Everything's okay. Really.
Well, okay.
Have you ever had a conversation with someone like that? They ask you how you are and you say, I'm fine. But it's really far from the truth. I'm Tammy, and welcome to Women of Hope.
Hello, this is Carol, and today we want to introduce you to our friend, Diane.
Hello, Carol.
Diane, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. I was born and raised in Queens, New York, in a big Italian-American family, often people coming in and out of the house, eating, laughing, making lots of noise, and some really good memories. Anyone looking in would have said I had a good life. I lived in a decent house in a nice neighborhood.
That sounds like a pretty good life to me.
In many ways it was, but hiding in the midst of all that happiness, there was a terrible secret. I had been sexually abused for most of my childhood by my father's best friend. It started sometime when I was in primary school. It wasn't until I was 14 that it stopped, because our family moved from Queens to Long Island. As I grew up through my teenage and young adult life, I kept the secret. I was hiding behind this mask of everything's fine. I tried to numb the pain, the shame, and the guilt by reaching out and drinking alcohol. As time passed, I added even more pain. I had several abortions and removed myself from friends and family. The alcohol no longer numbed my senses enough, and I really didn't like the hangovers and the headaches and the vomiting, so I reached out for something else. I was only 15 when I smoked my first joint of marijuana. As I drifted off into the high, I remember thinking, this is great. Everything really is fine. But then, as the high wore off, the reality hit hard. My circumstances didn't change at all. Nothing was different, and I actually felt worse than before. I kept using drugs, up and down, feeling great, feeling horrible, waking up each day pretending that everything was fine, hiding behind my mask, going to work, doing what I had to do. As the years changed, so did the drugs. I used stronger and larger amounts, hashish, angel dust, uppers, and cocaine. The ups and downs of this crazy addiction cycle continued.
It's good to be with you on Women of Hope. Today, Diane is here with us to share her story of how she became addicted to many different kinds of drugs. Diane, my heart aches for you. This must have been a very difficult time.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was. I was caught up in this cycle of ups and downs and taking stronger and stronger drugs, and I was so lonely. See, I was searching for love, but I was looking in all the wrong places. I went from one guy to another, hoping that one of them would love me and treat me right, but it never worked out that way. I had one bad relationship after another, hoping that maybe this would be the one. This would be the man that would fill the emptiness inside my heart. As all this was going on, I was considered to be very successful. My family, my friends, they saw the great job that I had. It seemed really strange, but true. I had been working 6 days a week and making a good amount of money. But most people didn't know that one of my coworkers was also a drug dealer. He supplied all the cocaine I wanted to keep me going, to keep us creative. Anyone looking at me saw a successful businesswoman because the mask I wore on the outside I wore so well. What they didn't see was the real me underneath the business clothing, crying out for help. I had a good business reputation and a family that loved me. I didn't want these things to change, so I would put the mask back on. I'm fine. Really. I'm really fine. Everything's okay. Have you ever worn that mask? Have you lived much of your life trying to meet everyone else's expectations while you yourself slowly die inside? Have you ever stolen from someone or hurt someone you loved or lied just to get drugs so that you could get through the day? It's a horrible feeling. Have you ever woken up not remembering how you got there or what happened the night before? I have. And if I was really honest with myself, I hated being so out of control. I was stuck in this vicious cycle of addiction, and I didn't know how to get out. I thought I was in control, but now the drugs had control over me. I longed to find someone or something to rescue me. I needed a hero. I needed someone who would notice me and see what was really going on in my life. Someone who would come to my rescue and tell me, there is hope. There is a better way. But where do you find such a hero?
Diane, this is a very sad story, and I've heard people say, once an addict, always an addict. How true is that?
Well, Tammy, I didn't realize how those simple words were forming my identity. They became the person that I believed I was. How those words would affect my life. I believed them, so I continued in this way.
Your identity, who you see yourself to be, is an important part of who you are and how you live your life, isn't it?
That's right, Carol. You see, if you believe you're an addict, then you will continue to struggle with addictions. You may stop using drugs and switch to something else, but at the very center of your being, your mind keeps telling you over and over and over again that you are still an addict. And if you're an addict, then you can't do much to change, can you?
Okay, let me understand this. You're saying that if I call you an addict, it's like I'm putting a label on you that says what you are. And if you accept that label as who you are, your identity, then how will you ever not be an addict?
That's right. However, there's something I want to tell you that can change this way of thinking. Do you know that God's word says that He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you? If you believe this, then you believe that God lovingly created you as a man or a woman with a purpose. When you really can get a hold of that, then your identity changes because you know that you were created by God and loved by God.
And with His help, you can work on getting rid of all the labels that others may have placed on you.
Or labels you may have put on yourself, like I did when I said, I'm an addict and there's nothing I can do about it. Do you see the difference? I'm not a victim or an addict. I'm not useless. Those words may describe the way I'm acting, but they do not describe who I am. I am a human being created in the very image of God. I am highly valued and loved by God, no matter what I've done or what has happened to me.
Wow, this makes me stop and wonder, what about you? What are some of the labels you may have accepted about yourself? Fearful? Lazy? Weak? Useless? A criminal?
Can you see now how those labels may have affected the way you act? For a long time, I believed the lie that I would be an addict all my life, that there was no hero to rescue me, that there was no other way out. It wasn't until I accepted the truth and learned that the truth could set me free, that I became free, free to live the way I was created to live, not as a victim, not as an addict, not even as an alcoholic, but as a mighty woman of God.
Here on Women of Hope, our friend Diane is telling us how she overcame her addiction to cocaine and other drugs, and how she came to know the true God. Diane, I can't wait to hear the rest of your story.
I gave birth to our second child, a baby boy, and 7 weeks later, he became very sick. He stopped breathing one night and we rushed him to hospital. The doctors put him into an oxygen tent and told us it was not good. His cough progressively got worse and he was having difficulty breathing. Doctors and nurses came in and out of the room throughout the day and the night, and as the weeks went by, we were moved into a private room. He was diagnosed with whooping cough and pneumonia. I found it so hard to believe. It shouldn't be. I was living in a middle-class suburban neighborhood. I quickly found out that disease knows no boundaries, and that no matter how much money you have, disease can still take a life. Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard to watch as your children suffer? You feel so helpless. You'll do anything to help, but sometimes there's nothing more you can do. I had already lost two children in miscarriages, and I couldn't bear the thought of losing another child. The nurse taught me how to flip my tiny baby onto my lap with his head down between my knees and to pound his back to release the phlegm and then quickly suction his nose and mouth. I hesitated hitting him so hard in the back until the nurse took my face firmly in her hands and said something like, "Honey, he won't break. If you don't hit him hard, he could choke to death." Well, that brought me into reality. At times like this, all you can do is just try to survive. I was still recovering from the cesarean delivery of my baby, and my body was reacting to the withdrawals of tobacco, smoke, alcohol, and drugs that would normally fill it to avoid dealing with painful reality. And I didn't even have my work to keep me occupied. You see, I'd been using lots of alcohol and drugs to get through each day, and even keeping busy. But I was not your typical addict. I had a family that loved me. I had a successful career. And then one night in hospital, when I felt totally exhausted, the doctor told us that Alex probably wouldn't make it through the night. He said that babies his age usually do not survive in his condition. I couldn't take it anymore. That was it. That was the last straw. How could this be happening to me? Was it really true? I had 1,000 questions, but there was no one to answer any of them. I had not left the hospital since the day we'd arrived 2 months earlier, and I was not about to leave now. Once again, I stood over the clear plastic oxygen tent, looking at my son and rubbing his tiny hand through the plastic glove. There he was with his tiny chest rising and falling, and he was struggling to breathe. He seemed so small, even though he was the biggest baby in the nursery when he was born. The tubes, the machines, the horrible spasms of coughing. The medical staff did everything they could to help. I felt so helpless. I had nowhere to turn. I realized I had no control over whether he lived or died. I felt so alone. I wanted to go home and be with our 3-year-old daughter, Jackie, who was staying with my husband and my parents. But how could I leave Alex? What if he died while I was gone? I'd never forgive myself. My mind was flooded with thoughts, lost hope, memories of my own abusive childhood. And finally, it all became too much. I fell to my knees on the hospital floor and I cried out to a God that I knew existed, but I didn't really know. We were separated. God was up there in heaven somewhere, and I was there in that hospital room with Alex dying. I was sure that this was my punishment for all the years that I had rebelled, for all the years that I had abused my body with alcohol and drugs, and having had several abortions, not praying, not going to church. I was convinced that God was punishing me. On my knees, I cried out to this God. And I said something like, "God, do you hear me? If you're real, take my life and take Alex's life too. I don't want to live through this. I'm not fit to be a mother. I can't do this anymore. Please forgive me." And I remember groaning from the depths of my heart. I remember I was at the lowest point I could be. I was a wreck. I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live through this. I continued to talk to God as if he was really listening. And then lying on the hospital floor with tears streaming down my face, I felt this incredible peace come over me. It's so hard to describe, but it was like a blanket covering me. a really strange interruption in the midst of such grief and sorrow. It was something I'd never known before, and suddenly, gently, my sorrow lifted, and I knew, it was just a thought, but I knew that Alex would be fine, and that I'd be fine too. And I curled up into a fetal position under this blanket of peace on the floor, and I fell asleep. I slept peacefully for the first time since we'd arrived 2 months earlier. The next morning, I woke up to the sound of doctors and nurses in our room arguing. They were looking at the most recent X-ray of Alex. There was confusion. There was quarreling among the staff as they compared X-rays from 2 days earlier to the X-rays that were taken that morning. The doctors were dumbfounded. They couldn't believe what they saw. Are you sure these are the right X-rays? These show that his pneumonia is gone. More doctors came into the room, interns, nurses. Everyone was running around, trying to find out what happened. In the midst of it all, I yelled out, "What's going on?" And a sweet nurse gently turned to me and said these words, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus has healed your son." Now, I didn't know what she was talking about. The nurses and doctors were now talking loudly over her. Was this a dream? Could it have been a miracle? Did God really hear my cry for help and heal my son? And what was that amazing peace that caused me to sleep so soundly? Alex was released from hospital 3 days later. I thought back to my prayer in that moment of peace where nothing else mattered. Alex had, in fact, been healed and was going to live a long, long life. Have you ever gone through a season where you feel as though everything is going wrong and you feel like giving up because the battle seems too strong, too difficult? Have you ever felt like there's no way out of your circumstances? Maybe you feel that way right now, that life is just too hard. If that's you, my friend, don't give up. Don't quit before the miracle happens. There is a God who loves you so much. He loves us so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we would be forgiven and have eternal life. He sent his own son, Jesus, to overcome the evil in this world. And as you know, there is a lot of evil. Just look around you. Sickness, violence, abuse, addictions, poverty, death. None of that is what God wants. None of this is what God intended for his people. God is a good God. He's full of love and forgiveness and grace and peace and justice. Evil steals, devours, destroys, and kills. God created you and me to have an abundant life, a full life. As a matter of fact, he created you to be a temple for his very own Holy Spirit to come and live in. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you, and he will come and live inside you. Your circumstances may not change overnight, but I can guarantee that you too can have that same peace in your heart, that same peace that I found, a peace that is beyond your understanding. Jesus saved my life. He also saved my son's life. I am a new creation. And you can be too. God's word, the Bible says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I hope that you too will come to know Jesus. In your time of need, call upon his name until he answers you. He will not let you down.
Diane, your story has touched my heart today. Thank you so much for telling us so honestly about your struggles and how you came to know the true and living God in your life.
Oh, you're welcome. I find it a privilege to talk about how God took me from a life of addiction and gave me a new life.
Maybe you could even come back another day and tell us more about your life now and what God is doing to change other people's lives.
I'd love to do that.
We look forward to having you with us again. Before we go, Diane, would you be willing to pray for our listener?
Certainly. Pray with me. Father God, Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you that you created each one of us. Thank you for your love and your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I pray now for my friend, for the one who may be listening, who may be caught up in a cycle of addiction. I pray that she will find you and be released, healed, and given a new life. Please show her that you love her. Show her that she's of great value to you and that you want her to have hope and a future. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. We'll look forward to being with you again soon.
Friend, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.